This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
فالله سبحانه وتعالى في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the reason why the munafiqeen have nifaq in their heart. He says في قلوبهم مرض. This happened to them because of that sickness that is taking place in their heart. And as I said, the heart has so many different types of illnesses. None of them is good. None of them is good. Either the disease of shahwat or the disease of the shubuhat. The disease of the shubuhat, these are qida matters. And this is what happened to the munafiqeen, first and foremost, which result in the disease of the shahwat to be continuous. Because if the aqidah is affected, you should expect every other disease to have a place. If aqidah is not affected and somebody is having sound and correct aqidah, no any other disease, you know, can affect the heart of that person. So when the munafiqeen, they have the disease of the shubuhat, you know, for sure it is going to result in the disease of the shahwat as well. So many scholars said this is the shak, and that is, you know, firmly, you know, established in the heart of those people who show to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers other than that which is in their heart. So Allah says, "Fi qulubihim maradun, fazadahum Allahu marada." And last dars, if you remember, I said it is the most important thing to be busy with. Tazkiyatun nafs, you know, tazkiyatun nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. He says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The one who observed the tazkiyatun nafs, purify his soul, succeed. You know, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And if you want to see a loser, look at that person who covers his heart. The saha covers the heart in evilness, you know, in the disease. He too much, you know, commits sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let those sins covers the heart, and there is nothing inside it except evil. So that's why it thinks in the wrong way all the time. It thinks in the wrong way. You will never find a munafiq thinking in the correct way. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them precisely, and the munafiqun in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not different from the munafiqeen in our time. You know, they are not different from the munafiqeen in our time. So, tazkiyatun nafs is very important. As I said, how to do the tazkiyatun nafs? Tazkiyatun nafs, first and foremost, happens when there is iman. The first thing to do is to establish the iman in the heart. You know, there is no way for the nafs to be muzakkah as long as iman is not there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا أَيْ زَكَّهَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَالْأَقِيدَ الصَّحِيحَ. Purifies his soul with iman and the correct and sound aqidah. The correct and sound aqidah. Because those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave example of the tazkiyatun nafs and failing to do the tazkiyatun nafs, they are people who lost the iman. The people of Salih alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَهَا. Give us the example of those people who lost the correct track and they did not do the tazkiyatun nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَابُوا وَخَسِرُوا إِيوَ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَهَا إِذْ انْبَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا. That tazkiyatun nafs which they lost led them to have the weakest, you know, the worst among them, in Ba'ath, he jumped, forgetting what Salih told them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ فَيَأْخُذَكُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ أو عَذَابٌ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٌ. He says, do not touch this camel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do that, you're going to get into trouble. That's why in Ba'ath أَشْقَاهَا فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقْيَهَا. Rasulullah told them, Naqatallah, aydharu naqatallah, wa suqiyaha wa waqta suqiyaha. You know, stay away and leave alone the camel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the time it drinks water. Yeah, so they forgot all of these things. And like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about some of them, the heart is so blind, you know. The heart is so blind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La'amruka innahum lafi sakratihim ya'mahu. Ewa Allah. There's a person who is making mockery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and paying no attention to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to do. This person is drunk. You know, this person is drunk. Because if they see properly, they will never agree to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Afa amina alladhina walau anna ahla al-qura amanu واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون أفأمن أهل القرى أن يأتيهم بأسنا بياتا وهم نائمون أو أمن أهل القرى أن يأتيهم بأسنا ضحا وهم يلعبون أفأمنوا مكر الله فلا يأمن مكر الله إلا القوم الخاسرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about all of those previous nations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them one after the other. It says, what's wrong with them, you know? And they don't take lessons, subhanAllah. Because this one will be gone, and the next generation will come, they will never pay attention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them what happened to the previous nation, you know. No. That heart, that evil that is in the heart is making them blind. You know, I just want you to understand how bad it is, you know, when you don't do the tazkiyatu nafs and you let the evil dominate your heart. Wallahi, it deprives you from seeing lessons which are very clear. More clear than the sun in the middle of the day, you know. But you don't see. People will see, but you can't see that. Otherwise, just yesterday, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed those ones, and then tomorrow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring these guys, and they have the facts, they have the history, and they have no doubt in the existence of this as a fact. But they're doing the same thing. Or even worse. You know, Thamud, when they came after Ad. Ad most likely are much stronger than them. They look alike. They're very strong, also very powerful. But Ad most likely are stronger than them because those people came before Thamud. They were the balance of the Thamud, balance of the Ad. But they did the same thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقْيَهَا فَكَذَّبُهُ فَعَقَرُهَا. You know, that blindness in the heart, not in the eyes, because the eye sees. That blindness in the heart, you know, did not let them to see the truth. And to be realistic to themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَّبُهُ فَعَقَرُهَا فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّهَا وَلَا يَخَفُ عُقُبَهَا. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erased them from existence. You know, told them, تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ ذَلِكَ وَعَدٌ غَيْرُ مَكْذُوبٍ. ذَلِكَ وَعَدٌ غَيْرَ مَكْذُوبٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, you have 3 days to live, to enjoy, to do whatever you want. You know, they're making jokes. Why 3 days? So Allah says, لَعَمْرُكَ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَوْنَ. Allah says, it's whereby, according to some scholars, the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, those guys are really drunk. Their heart is blind. They are in sakarat, drunkenness. You will lie. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you something and you're making mockery. They were saying, why 3 days? Why not now? But wallahu la mukriha lahu. Nobody forces Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do against what he planned. He says, after 3 days, the punishment will come after 3 days. And subhanAllah, it is interesting enough, you know, to know that they don't go out. They remain in the place. Why didn't they go out? Because they can't. The one who controls them, control their emotions, their feelings, their movement, their thinking, it just make them like that. They remain in a state of drunkenness, you know, laughing, making mockery against the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they never appreciated that afterwards. They regret it. At the time, regret will never benefit it bearer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّهَا. And what happened to them? Come on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swept the earth from them. You know, removed them completely. He says, وَلَا يَخَفُ عُقُبَهَا. And he's not afraid of what will happen. Who cares? Yeah. I do something against somebody, then I worry so much about the consequence. No king on earth that will do something in this way, you know, without having the fear of the consequence. Kill somebody or do somebody, there is something in the heart that maybe the consequence will happen, you know, in the negative way. The only one that doesn't have this is Rabbul Alameen. Yeah. One of our scholars said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erased them from existence. They became part of the history. Khabarakan. You know, Allah is the one that even if they are there in existence, they cannot do anything. What about when he remove them completely? You know, they have to go so that life can continue in a good way. Yeah, that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut them off. He says, فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we cut them off from the root. He says, Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I love this so much. Allah says, Alhamdulillah. And the earth has been swept, you know, cleansed. Allah SWT clean it, you know. Remove them because their existence is none other than evil and deficiency, you know, to the earth. So the first thing to do when it comes to tazkiyatu nafs is to preserve your religion and to have the aqidah, the correct one, the sound one. You know. Number two, prayers. You know, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it gives relief. It helps you to stay away from evil things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. You know, prayer, this is what prayer does. If you do it correctly, you know, you do prayer correctly, it will help you. If you do it in your own way, it will not. Yeah. You pray correctly, it will help. Yeah, that's where the least in terms of commission of ma'asi and evil things, the least. They're the musalloon. You Allah. The best. And those who benefit the community, you know, and are very productive, you know, in benefiting the community, they are the musalloon. Regular goes to the masajid who are praying according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed. Not that kind of the prayer that you see a person just rushing in. That is useless prayer. Haram prayer, actually. Yeah. Haram prayer. Because you cannot come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this. Just going like that, you know. Not fulfilling the ruku, not fulfilling the sujood. What is he doing? Completing the balance of his exercises. Allah, that's it. Completing the balance of its exercises. As for the reward, no reward for that. You will not get anything except blame. Tranquility is necessary in the prayer. And if a person wants the prayer to act as this deterrent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, they must make sure that they focus in the prayer. Then it works. Bismillah. Focus in the prayer. That's what we call khushu'. Hudur al-qalb wa sukun al-jawarih. The heart to be very attentive in the prayer, and you don't move here and there in your prayer. You focus on what you're reading. And if you are to go out of it, remember that a day will come, you will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reflect upon the position that there is no one between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is qibala wajhik, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith. May Allah forgive our weaknesses, but it's really bad. You're praying and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he's in front of you. And then we're thinking of something else. Busy with something else. Unless if it is a religious thing also, there's some connection, but sometimes it's pure dunya thing. Yeah. So one of the best way for tazkiyatun nafs wallah is the salah. Yeah, it's the salah. La khayra fi man la yusalli. There is no good in somebody who is not praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu said, the best thing in your religion is a salah. He says, فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَمَنْ حَفِظَ حَفِظَ دِينَهُ. Whoever takes care of the prayer will preserve his religion. وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا أَوْ ضَيَّأَهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضِيَعَ. Yeah, that's why I will advise you, if you see your affairs being scattered and not being able to make a lot of achievement in your life, you know, and very negligent, you become negligent, wallah, go back to your prayer and check how are you praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. Because this statement of Umar is really true. He says, if you are to be negligent in the prayer, you will never be serious in other matters. Yeah, because this is the most important thing, and you are negligent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ. You know, that person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him as a person who is not serious from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he always follows his desire. You know, negligent, following his desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّبَعْ هَوَى. Because if a person is negligent, he will be following his desire. And you're going to find him negligent in almost anything that is beneficial to him. Everything that is beneficial to him.
Yeah, look at our life, you know. Let's be honest to ourselves. Look at our life, you know. Things that are beneficial to us, we don't value it. You know, I'm telling you the truth. Lectures that the scholars are giving, they have qalil min al-ruwad. Any place where seriousness is there, qalil min al-ruwad. Places of joke, you know, where a person will go and laugh, you know, going for the sake of laughing, and that's it. If you sit down at home, when did you ever, you know, have, you know, series of lectures, one-hour series of them, you understand? And you finish them. But how many short clips you finish in your life? What did you do in your life? You're still the same person you are. And those lectures, 1 hour, just be patient, you know. But people are not like that. People are not like that, you know. So, in the past, they worry so much that the himma of the student of knowledge, qallat, and Ibn Jarir Tabari told the student that my plan is to have a book which has 30,000 volumes. 30,000 pages. Yeah, not volumes. 30,000 pages. The student said, 30,000? And this is when? 200 years plus, you know, after the hijrah, this man was there, you know. You know, Lissabad, you know, life was, seriousness was still there. But then the student at that time, they were, 30,000, this is too much, you know. He was like, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Darfatul himam. There is no himma. What are you talking about? In 30,000 pages, and you are. So how many times you take a book, a beneficial book, you completed it? Yeah. We reduce our life to these sandwiches. We call them sandwiches, those small. That are depriving you from the real and the most important thing in your life. Wallahi, this has to be changed, you know. This life will finish. It's a test, it's a temporary, you know, stay, you know. Just understand that you're moving to another life. Focus on that which benefits. I know it's quite interesting, and this is the disease. You know? Just like those kind of dessert or things they put, the chips, you know. I want to take only one. If you take number one, you're going to take the second one, you know? Like that. You take number two, you take this. You're going to keep taking. Those short things, you start one of them, then what happened? Your hand will go. Yeah? By the time you realize, very late, you know? And still you are in, and your brain will be thinking about them, you know? And I believe they know what they're doing, those guys. Yeah? Because you see, one good, 10 evils sometimes. You know? And the heart is connected. And the moment you let yourself watch the first evil, wallahi, trust me, your heart might not be able to stay away from it. Yeah? You will keep going and then think of making tawbah afterwards. And that might be the beginning of, you know, what do you call, failure in your life. So my advice to all of you here, please change your life. Wallahi, change the way you live. You know, whatever is not going to add value to your iman, stay away from it. And stay away from these short summarized things, you know. Even in our ibadat, you know, Iwallah, this is who we are. People appreciate something very little and very short. You know, alhamdulillah, if they reflect upon it, you know, it's good. But you go, there's no reflection. It just cannot be patient of listening to these mawa'id for quite long. But subhanAllah, they can stay and listen to these short, unbeneficial things for hours. Right? As long as you break it into so many. So I know it's very difficult, but this mobile phone, please know how to utilize it and use it in that which benefits, and understand that your life here is very short. Every single second you spend here is part of your life going. Believe it or not, you will remember this. Every single second that passes, whatever you're doing, is your life moving, you know. It is bringing you closer to the Akhirah and detaching you from the dunya more and more. That's why the best person and the smart person is somebody who doesn't replace his time except with something that is more valuable than it. Wallahi, the past, the people in the past, they value the time so much. That's why they don't understand. Imam Shatibi says, فَيَا ضَيْعَةَ الْأَعْمَالِ تَمْشِي سَبَحْلَلَا. They don't understand to have to remember a person who is sitting down doing nothing that is not benefiting his dunya or the akhirah, except to just enjoy, you know. But this is what it is. So do remember this, inshallah, and pray correctly. بِإِذْنِ azza wa jalla, it will make you busy. Your brain will become busy. And it will make you smart, somebody who decide well, somebody who think in the right way. Yeah, these are useless things, these are useless matters. You don't even think about them. You will lie. You need this concept. Let the whole world be thinking about something, you know, you are not for it. Who cares? You know, who cares? And this helps a lot. Allah, this helps a lot. Because we live in a time whereby sometimes you are the only one who is doing it. What makes it easy for you? That which makes it easy for you is the iman and those prayers that are subhanallah, keeping your iman intact, you know. So although the whole world is not doing what you do, but you're willing to resist. Subhanallah, I come across a situation, you know, today. Well, a person called me asking about a situation in their life, very tough situation, very, very tough, like the time of the companions with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was trying to look for the concession for them and the ruhsa. Wallahi, I felt so, you know, insignificant in doing that. At the end of the day, I just had to tell them, okay, this one that you are taking is the best way, you know. Because that person was telling me that I just feel that submitting to those physical punishment is weakness in my iman, and what should I tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I meet? I was trying to tell them that if you are pressured so much, you do have a right to use Ammar ibn Yasir method. But subhanAllah, it turned to be I'm the one sitting down there being reminded about how to be strong in your... Yeah. Wallahi, arju an yakun, this is the result of the prayers, you know, that help them to have this strong iman, which tells them that no going back. We live in a place of fitan and this and that, but we're going to resist. And we will remain obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. One of the means of the tazkiyat al-nafs is the fasting you are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And fasting helps you to observe the tazkiyah when you do it correctly. Don't eat too much, you know. And feed the time between the Fajr and Maghrib with righteousness. You know, with righteousness. Read Quran. You know, one of the best way of tazkiyatul nafs also is Quran. That's why Ibn Abdul Qawi says, وَحَافِذْ عَلَى دَرْسِ الْقُرَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يُلَيِّنُ قَلْبًا. You know, he says you should always and constantly read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is softening the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Wallahi, there are ayat in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have iman strong, you know, you cannot pass them without strong reflection. You'll be reading them so many times. You will understand why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam easily cried. Why the righteous people easily cried. You know that there is somebody who died because of the Quran. One of the Salaf al-Saleh, they don't read the ayat of the punishment next to him because he usually faint. Very difficult for them. That's strong reflection. I'm not looking for this for any one of us, but at least focus and understand what Rabbul Alameen is talking about. Remember that this is a Kalam Rabbil Alameen. It's full of wisdom. From A to Z, it's full of wisdom. and you will see a lot of amazing things in a very brief way, straight to the point, granting you the best of tarbiyat that you need, you know, to keep you intact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after he talks about the situation in the Day of Judgment with the munafiqeen and the kuffar and the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after he made a conclusion, he says, those one regret and they're looking for the light and they don't get it on the Day of Judgment, because you cannot get light on the Day of Judgment. You have to get it here in this dunya and then go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Isn't it the right time? You know, I love this statement, you know. Allah says, isn't it the right time? The right time for the believers to have strong consciousness of the heart and their heart to reflect and to be humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, this is a message to who? To all of us. Allah is asking us, isn't it the right time for us to reflect? So Quran is full of this, from A to Z, from Surah Al-Baqarah, from Surah Al-Fatiha until Nas. Surah Al-Fatiha alone, if you are to observe, to understand Surah Al-Fatiha correctly, and to do the tadabbur on Surah Al-Fatiha, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ, it is more than enough for you to live in this life. More than enough. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you to repeat it at least 17 times in a day? Because of these powerful lessons that is contained in it. Reflect upon what you're reading and then relate that to your actions to see, do they match or not? And every day you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times minimum. 5 times and pray. In every prayer you repeat this Fatiha, you know, several times. In every rak'ah you said this. And telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you promise, you want to be the righteous person, you want to be this, you want to be that. But then when you go out, who are we? Others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lutfu tawfiq. So fasting correctly can lead you to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And recitation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the best thing to feed your fast with. One of the best thing to feed your fast with. Because Quran is one of the most important tools that soften the heart of a believer. Dhikrullah Azza wa Jal is the last thing I will mention. Dhikrullah Azza wa Jal. In all of its forms. Istighfar, tahleel, tasbih, tahmeed, you know. According to what we got from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah, ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub." Those who believe and their hearts finds no way to be tranquil except through the remembrance of Allah, and you should know only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do heart find tranquility. So if you are depressed, you should check your heart and see, are you among those who are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Dhikrullah is your protection. The only thing that preserves your heart. And it's your protection in this life, you know, in all senses. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the likeness of the person who remembers Allah and the one who doesn't remember Allah is just like the hay and the mayyit. The living and the dead one. Too far, right? Allah says the likeness of the person who remembers Allah and the one who doesn't do, it's just the difference between the dead and the living one. So it's up to us to make a choice. You want to live or you want to die. Those people of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who does it correctly, you know, even after they die, their remembrance remains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَتْرُكُ لَهُمْ الذِّكْرَ الْحَسَنِ. Their remembrance remains. And this is good for you, right? Yeah, because people remember you and make dua for you. People remember you and make dua for you. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a day, not less than 70 times. And that was Rasulullah. How about us? We are committing sins day and night. Intentional and unintentional. you Allah, you deserve to do the tawbah and to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the way Rasulullah is doing. And we don't have time. Don't you ever delay the tawbah. Every time, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time. When you pray, repent. When you're working, repent. When you go to sleep, repent. It's a good ending, you know, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your bed. Ask Allah to forgive all of your sins. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, regret seriously from the heart and tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what is bothering you, your sins, and ask Him to protect you and to forgive that which you did. Sleep like that. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, if Allah accepted and you die at that night, you're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with nothing. Inshallah. But to stay without repentance and you're committing sins, you know, this is a great loss in this dunya and the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَارَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَارَضًا. So because of this, we went talking about the tazkiyatun nafs. They have this sickness, you know, because they don't have the tazkiyatun nafs, so it results to the sickness of the heart, disease of the shahwa, and the disease of the shubha. As I said, shahwa is all of these aqa'id al-batila and any aqeedah that is wrong, that somebody is having shak and doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the religion of Allah, in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doubt in the matters that are beneficial to him said by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the disease of the shahwat. You know, disease of the shahwat, such as taking riba, zina, you know, illegal relationship with the opposite gender. All of these things are part of the disease of the heart. If the heart is pure and clean, a person will never agree to open up that relationship without using the right door to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not bakhil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not harsh in this regard. You know, He is only harsh to those criminals. But for those who are willing to, you know, come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made life very easy for you. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make the system, you know, that the opposite gender is very attracted to you, you know. You are attracted to them, they are attracted to you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you cannot come together. You have to stay there, you have to stay there. You know, Allah never said this. He said there is a right way, which is responsible way, to help human beings not to live like animals. What is the difference between that person who is submitting themselves to evil, you know, tens of people, hundreds of people coming to have relationship with them? What is the difference between them and dogs in the street? Well, I have to tell me, what is the difference between them? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the human being, established a system for their own protection, responsible life. How many children are born? I heard in some of the countries, you know, the government now started to put restriction after opening all the door for people to do whatever they want. And now they started thinking of putting restriction because they have a lot of children coming out of the wedlock and nobody's to claim responsibility to take care of them. Who takes care of that sister? Who takes care of the children she's going to have? Nobody. And how is she? The most respected person in the eyes of those people who was corrupting them? No, she's not. The worst person. You know, we have heard all of these useless, you know, subhanAllah, stories which are the norm, you know. They go with the nature. Naturally, this is what you should expect. But subhanAllah, since somebody doesn't want to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah led them to go through this life. Yeah. That's it. You cannot live this life alone. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stand between you and whatever exists in this life. So disease of shahwat, riba, and all of these things. Why do you take riba? Because your heart doesn't believe in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everything has been prescribed, you know, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will never get that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not prescribe for you. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you must come. And the one who created you, He grants you the best way of earnings, way of karama. Yeah, but we don't want that. We go to something else. The same goes to the bribe. You know, what is pushing that person to take bribe? Disease in the heart. In many instances, they're rich, very rich actually. Wallahi, very rich. But subhanAllah, you don't see that in their faces. I was telling one of the brothers, you know, these type of jobs, some of the jobs without mentioning the name, you know, of the job, I don't see happiness in the face of these guys. And whenever you see them as a poor person. And they're rich. They have. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Al-Hasan al-Basri says, أَبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُذِلَّ مَنْ عَصَى فَإِنَّ ذُلَّ الْمَعْصِيَةِ لَا يُفَارِقُ وُجُوهَهُ. He said the humiliation of the ma'asiyah will never leave their faces because Allah refuses except to humiliate the person who is going against him. So they think it is okay, it is, you know, there's no problem in looking for the risk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the haram channels. So that's disease. Those people who are changing their nature, you know, they don't want to be a girl. Well, it's so funny. Yeah, so funny. The first time I met her, and I just don't want to laugh because it's a very serious matter, you know. But why? A person will come and say that he doesn't like the way Allah created him. A sister doesn't, she wants to be a man. Or a man wants to be a woman. Do we have people like this? Yeah. At least they want to be human beings, right? There are some who want to be a dog. They want to be, they're pig also as well. I saw them in the cage. Allah, let's say they pay around $2,500 or pounds to get some injection so that they can act like pig. SubhanAllah. Allah, alhamdulillah al-Islam. Alhamdulillah al-Islam. Allah, alhamdulillah al-Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. What is that? Disease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored you. Grant you aql, you reach the completeness, the age of 40 or 30 or more than that, you know, after reaching the age of maturity, you have aql. And then you come to the class and tell the teacher, today you are a cat. And the teacher has to treat you as a cat. Otherwise, he will be in trouble by the government. What is that? Disease in the heart. That's why life as human being, you know, exists in the Muslim territories. Now we started adopting that kind of system. It's Allah salam al afiyah. Wallahi, we have to be very careful. Really need to be very careful. It's a message to the parent. Watch over your kids. You have to understand what they are watching. Who are they following? You know, it's a very serious matter. You know, there's no joke in this. Wallahi, you will be responsible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't you ever think that this is freedom. It's not. Yes, you should be the best friend of your kids, but the kids should know that there is a red line in the house. And red line number one is that the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be violated. That's number one. Man has to remain man. A woman has to remain a woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed the life. And good has been there in this world, even in the place where there is no Islam. And when you start adopting this corrupt and evil system which is aiming to destroy the family structure, and they know if the family structure is, you know, affected, life will be gone. There is no way for you to have a proper standing community, you know, that is based on manners and virtues and living a life of prosperity and happiness of the heart as long as the family structure has been affected. So they want to destroy this first. Yeah. That's why they discourage you to marry. Yeah, in some countries, a girl can have a relationship with anyone at the age of this and that, but marriage cannot. She has to reach upper age. But she wants to go and do whatever the boy wants to go and do. It's okay. War against that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legalized, which is benefiting human beings. You know, to replace it with a system that is nothing other than evil. So, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. That's what led the munafiqeen to have that behavior. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased their illness. As he says, وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. They have this disease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them keep going. Because they are not willing to repent, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them keep moving in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. When they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, they will receive none other than a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. The munafiqun, they will be placed in the ad-dark al-asfal. Ad-dark is a position under. You go in lower, you call it ad-dark. Ad-dark al-asfal, the lowest one. Yeah. Why? Because they are worse than the normal kafir. Yeah. They're the most dangerous one. Yeah. Because they told us they are believers and they get all of us, our secrets, and we let them marry our daughters, you know, which is haram Islamically, but we don't know, you know. We have no access to that which is in the heart, and in Islam we judge people based on what appears to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they meet him on the day of judgment, because he knows who they are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَعْلَمُهُمْ نَحْنَ نَعْلَمُهُمْ. He informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about some of them, and some he did not tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed Hudhayfah about some. But some of them, Allah knows them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَعْلَمُهُمْ نَحْنُ نَعْلَمُهُمْ. You don't know them, but we know. Because Allah have access to the heart. You know, so he knows who is truthful and who is lying. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. When somebody tells them, stop doing corruption on earth. Corruption through the ma'asi. Yeah, because the worst corruption you have is the ma'asi. Yeah. Corruption is based on the ma'asi. Ma'asi are sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. You know, ma'asi bring all evil. It corrupts the earth. Earth was not like this. Barakah was so big, you know, on the earth. People are enjoying before. But now it has been taken because of what? The ma'asi. Yeah, the deficiency you have, lack of barakah in whatever you are getting, you know. You have huge amount of money, but there's no barakah in it. And sometimes Allah wants to give you and remove the happiness from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ ظَهَرُ. You know, corruption is rampant. And deficiency, according to some of the interpretation of scholars, الْفَسَادُ here is referring to the deficiency in the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, place in food and the land. So Allah removed that barakah. Why this barakah is being removed? Ala bima kasabat aydin nas, because of what they did. And that deficiency is taking place, liyudhiqahum ba'd alladhi amilu la'allahum yarji'un, so that they can taste some of the evil consequence of what they are doing. Maybe they will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, it's a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for people to reflect and come back to him. But does that work? It doesn't. Yeah. في البر والبحر. Ibn Kathir, when he was given the interpretation of this ayah in Surah to Rum, he says, in the past, you know, even the fish and the sea animals also decreased. He said that they found one grain of wheat. Qamh. One grain of wheat. At the size of the Nawati Tamr. Nawati Tamr? The date seed. You see how it is, right? It's, take the normal one. They found one grain of wheat like that. And it was written next to it or on it that this used to exist in the days of barakah. Animals were bigger, you know. Food was much bigger. Yeah. And because of the ma'asi, it reduced. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the barakah is much bigger than what you have here with us. They found this Hoot al-Ambar, Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah. They found Hoot al-Ambar. Hoot al-Ambar, I think it's, yeah, it's whale, but sperm whale. It's not even the blue whale. Yeah. So they found this one. They call it Hoot al-Ambar. They were hungry, you know. I guess around 300 of them. So they couldn't find food. They have tamar given to each and every one of them. You have 3 pieces of tamar for the whole day. You know. So what did they usually do? He would just cut some, just put it in his mouth, just treat it like the way he treats the sweet. You know. Doesn't want it to finish, just pretending that he's eating something. He says, we don't know what to do. We still have a long way to Medina. And then we come next to the sea. فَجَأَةً أَلْقَى اللَّهُ لَنَا دَابَّةً يُقَالْ لَهَا حُوتِ الْأَنْبَرِ الْأَنْبَرِ. You know, he says, we just found this huge fish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out of the sea for us. For the first time they saw this. They thought it's a tal, actually. They thought it's a hill. And they went, they took the, they cut from it. They removed the ice because they ate first to survive. They don't know the hukum, but they think they're in the darura, they ate. So they removed the ice, you know. And in some narration, 13 people sit inside the ice. You can see how big it is. And they remove the rib, and they fix it to the ground, and they bring a horse, and they ask the tallest one to ride on this horse and to go, you know, like a gate, you know, and pass through it. They ate it for the whole days they have before Medina, and they have a lot of it back to Medina. They dry it, they took it to Medina, and they went quickly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They told him, Ya Rasulullah, this is our situation. So now, what we did, was it correct? They ate it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you have some balance of that meat? They said, yes. Can I have my share? You know, that's the best way of telling them it's halal for you to eat. You know, go and see the Hut al-Anbar now. It's not like this. Yeah, go and see the Hut al-Anbar now, the one that the documentaries are telling us. It's not like this. So this barakah will come, and for you to understand that, yes, sins are affecting everything, even the black stone. It is supposed to be called white stone, because the sunnah says it came from paradise, whiter than the milk. Now we even call it black stone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it became, you know, dark because of the sins of the human beings. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the earth. قَالَ يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. On the day of judgment, the earth will be replaced with another one. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the earth, this one will be removed. Allah will bring a plain white earth that nobody committed sin on it. So that's me. It used to be better than what we have now. And this barakah in food will come back again. When is that? During the time of Isa alayhi salam. And why the barakah comes back? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when people see Isa alayhi salam, everyone will believe. You go to the house of somebody and tell them, my dear brother, this is 60 trillion dinar Kuwaiti, you know. And he will tell you, I don't want. Why don't you want this huge amount of money? He told him, I don't want. I want to be busy with my sujood. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَكُونَ السَّجَةُ الْوَاحِدَةُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا عَلَيْهَا. People at that time, one sujood is greater than the dunya in his heart than dunya and whatsoever is in it. So when they go back to that righteousness, they go back to, you know, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tazkiyat al-nafs. Now the heart is just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakah comes back in the food. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, small amount of milk can suffice large group of people. One piece of fruit can suffice large group of people. People can go to a tree, because the tree also now become big. The leaves are so big. You know, a group of people can have the shade of one leaf. You know, why? Because people are back to their consciousness. They went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try this individually, you know. Establish this hayat al-tayyiba in your house, and then you will enjoy the same consequence bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. Not necessarily in the same capacity, but Allah will put barakah in that little He grants you. And He will make you content with that which he gives you. And I guess this is the best risk, to have the contentment of the heart, you know, not worrying so much about life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls your heart. Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. When somebody tells them, do not do ifsad on the earth, they will tell you, no, we are not corrupting the earth. Whatever you see us doing, we are just bringing maslaha. Yeah. You know, they have two faces, right? Yeah, they have two faces, as we are going to hear, inshallah, in the near future, they have two faces. And they will tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reason why we're here, we are there and we're here also at the same time, because we want to bring maslaha for both kuffar and the Muslimin. Yeah, inshallah we will go through this bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla in the next class. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and ability to observe the tazkiyatun nafs. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Any question?
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh, Shaykh.
Assalamu
alaikum wa alaikum fi dunya wa al-akhirah. The first question is by a sister. She says that a sister got divorced and she is asking if it is permissible for her to work during her iddah time to keep herself busy and try to be positive. Must she seek her husband's permission to work?
He does have a right over her, because the connection in the divorce, which is not finalized, is still there. That's why she stays in the house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says she shouldn't go out of it. So it's better for her. That's why he's responsible actually to provide for her. You know. So that right remains, you know.
So until the Iddah
finish. Until the Iddah finish. If he doesn't bring her back, until the Iddah finish. So if this is a real case, I will advise her to look into the matter once again. You know, look into the matter once again. If there is any way to maintain that marriage, she should maintain it. If she realizes that she's the one who is wrong, just apologize. If he is wrong but he's just mad like that and he divorced, just apologize. Keep the marriage intact. It's better. As long as he's a good person, somebody who qualifies to stay with. But something happens between them, I would advise her to be patient. You know. Life without husband after being in the custody of her husband is not good. Whatever she sees to be good is not good. It's not going to be good. Unless, as I said, if life with him is terrible, you know, because there are some life that she has to leave him. It's better for her to stay without husband than staying with him. You know, husband committing zina, husband drinking wine, husband doing all of those useless things, or husband mostly corrupting the kids. You know, she has to cut that tie and the ties between her and him, and see how to get the custody of the kids if there are kids between them. If there is no kids, good, alhamdulillah. Because to be under the influence of somebody like this is very dangerous. But other than that, it's the divorce that happens, which is the vast majority of the divorces, is just human nature, behavior matters. And I really advise the sisters and the brothers also to cool down. Yeah, if it happens, to see how to bring it back. Allah says, لا تدري لعل الله يحدث بعد ذلك أمرا. Allah bring us, grant us good. Yeah.
Okay, Sheikh. My next question. Sheikh, we said, Aisha radiallahu anha said she never expected Quran would talk about her when they accused her. The question is, so what about if it happens to someone nowadays? Since we know it won't happen like Aisha radiallahu anha.
Just be patient. Yeah, things like this, when it happens, when a sister being accused by somebody, the best is to be silent. Not to reply. The thing will go, it will be heard in the community, and silence will make many people having doubt in that statement. Yeah. Because trust me, a sister, when she believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she observes hijab, That's the best protection she has in this dunya. The issue about her is very sensitive, even with the non-Muslims. Sister who wears hijab, her affair is very sensitive affair. Touching her is I don't know, what is the example of that in the community? And whoever happened to have clash with her, 90% he is wrong, according to the community. They will go through a lot of investigation for them to find her guilty. And why? Because of that hijab. Hijab is satr, it's a protection and honor. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. This is the best way for the sisters to be recognized and they will not be harmed. Yeah. That's why if there is anything to be compromised, not hijab. You know. So she should be silent. This is my advice, unless if it is going to reach to physical, you know, harm, then take the case to the court. Because taking the case to the court or replying, she is contributing to spreading the thing. If somebody talk against you and you keep quiet, usually people will say that that person was misbehaving towards you. Yeah. You get it? But if you reply, now you're giving people chance to start thinking, why is he worrying? Yeah. So if it is to happen in this case, well, ya'udhu billah, a sister should just keep silent. Yeah. Who is taking care of this? Rabbul Alameen. You know. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah says, those who are falsely accusing those muhsanat, you know, decent and believers, those ones that ghafilat means very innocent. They don't get involved in the affairs of others because she's mu'mina, she manage her and be very concerned with her own affairs. Allah says he cursed them in the dunya and the akhirah. You know what curse means, right? To be chased away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, this is more than enough. Why do you worry, you know? Allah says, لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He cursed them in this dunya and he will curse them in the hereafter. It says, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ يَوْمَ إِذٍ يُوَفِّيهِمُ اللَّهُ دِينَهُمُ الْحَقَّ وَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْحَقُّ الْمُبِينُ. You Allah, these are heavy words Allah SWT is sending to those criminals who are having nothing to do in this life except to look at an innocent sister and accuse her. You know. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect, but if it's to happen, this is my advice.
Okay, sure. The second part of the question is, what is the best thing that a sister can have or get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Jannah, til firdaus. It's not only for the sisters, for all of us. The best thing you can get is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. You know, brothers and sisters, they are not different in this regard. So the best thing is to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will lead to Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah.
Next question, Sheikh. Sheikh, could you please clarify again whether the sunnah is to pray 8 rak'ah or 20 rak'ah in Tarawih?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never increase and go beyond 11 rak'ah in Ramadan or out of Ramadan. And that's the best thing a person should do. It has more value. However, the scholars of the Salaf al-Saleh mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it general and up to a person to pray whatever number he wants to do. But that was the choice of Rasulullah. And everyone knows that what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose for himself is the best. You know. You get it? So the case closed. Somebody wants to pray 23 or 36 also, there is some opinion, 36. Tell him, go ahead. Ala barakatillah, may Allah reward. Somebody wants to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we tell him, ala barakatillah. Which one is more nobler? When you describe, you say, this one is following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This one is taking the general permission and permissibility, you know, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted. But this one is following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exactly in what he did. Which one is better? So if I would choose, I would choose for a person to pray only 11 rakat, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's more moderate. You know, you can pray with nashat, you know. However, if you go to the masjid and pray, choose the masjid, because we have a lot of masajid, praying 11 masajid. Choose the one that prays 11. But if you happen to go to the masjid that prays 23, I advise you to don't go out of the masjid until the end. Pray with them until then and get the reward of praying the whole night. And tomorrow look for the 11 rakat masjid. Finish?
Should we take more? We have three more.
No problem. No problem.
One more?
No problem. Can go. Three questions left, right?
Yeah.
Close the door with the lock.
Okay, sir. Next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. I've read that when you pray, you have to make sure that your nose and forehead has to be directly touching the place of sujood.
I know.
What if a sister prays with her niqab on? What if part of her hijab comes in between the place of sujood and the forehead or nose? Does it invalidate her
prayer? I think this one should be invited to our fiqh class, right? Yeah. We talk about this matter there. It's okay. It doesn't invalidate your prayer. When you pray on the carpet, is it halal? I'm praying. I put a carpet, I pray on the carpet. Is it okay? What is the difference when the hijab comes between the forehead and then? I thought I'm asking a question.
No difference.
No difference. Except that carpet is not connected to you. And this one is connected to your body. Not part of you, but connected to you. That's the reason why some scholars dislike it. Honestly speaking, there is no dislikeness at all. It's good if a person can have the forehead touching the ground. It's okay, it's fine. But she prays in the place where she doesn't do this. She covers her face completely because of the presence of others. What can she do? She prays just like that. There's nothing wrong with that. Inshallah.
Next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Must we have our intention for the salah during takbiratul ihram, or can we have niyyah before? Because it gives problems.
What is intention? When you come to the masjid, what brought you to the masjid? Today the fasting is so hard, right? I am asking a question and people are not answering.
To worship
which one? We have recitation of the Quran, we have salah, we have sunnah, we have saying salam to others, we have giving lecture, you know. Which one?
For salawat.
Which salah? Until now he wants me to keep debating him. When I left my house, I made wudu, I come to the masjid, you know, after the adhan. I left my house after the adhan, I come to the masjid. What am I coming to do? You pray. Which prayer? Maghrib, dhuhr, you know. I already know that Maghrib brought me out. When I reach the masjid, why am I inside the masjid?
To pray.
Pray. The iqamah is for what? Maghrib prayer. When I raise up my hand to pray what? Maghrib prayer. That's intention. That's why sometimes when you raise up your hand, you know, to say Allahu Akbar, shaitan will bring sunnah intention in your heart. Just ignore. Ibn Uthaymeen says the other opinion that says a person is just required to intend to pray that which is obligatory upon him at that time. Even without ta'heed, he said, this is the state, the opinion that there is no way for the life of people to live except with it. Otherwise, for the vast majority of the people, when they come, the moment they say Allahu Akbar, usually this thing goes out of the, you know. And somebody told them that you have to, you want to listen to this opinion? Yeah? It says you have to make sure that the recitation of the intention in your heart agrees with the recitation of the Takbirat al-Ihram. Do you understand this falsafa? Okay? Wait. Let me say my version and then you can bring your version also. So when I come to pray, Maghrib for instance, okay, how do I do? Allah, why do I stay so long, you know? Because I'm trying to link the intention with the takbirat al-ihram. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I witnessed a person who, Allah, Allah, You know, because whenever he started doing, and then the intention doesn't go. So he, that cutting. You Allah, this, whoever tells him this, punished him. You know, the imam is there about to make ruku and he's still trying to catch up, you know. SubhanAllah, life is easy. You come to the masjid to pray Maghrib, Dhuhr, Asr. You come, the Rasulullah said, the moment you reach the masjid, he said, just do what the imam is doing. You know, even some scholars said that you don't even do two takbirat. They said, you just come to the masjid when the imam is in ruku, just Allah Akbar, just bow for the ruku. That's it. The takbirat al-ihram is sufficient. Just go to the ruku. Straightforward. To catch up the ruku. But I have to just fix here, fix there. And then sit, Allah ala barakatillah. And then I read the thing. And then by then the imam already gone. You know, I lost. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did this. I know there are some who say this. But going back to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my intention is very simple. I give you one thing Ibn Taymiyyah said, which I mentioned it in this place, and I believe you forgot. He says, "An-niyyatu tatba'u al-ilm. Faman 'alima ma yuridu fi'luhu faqad nawa. Idh la yumkinu fi'lun bighayr niyyah." Allah. Subhanallah. He says, "An-niyyatu tatba'u al-ilm. Niyya follows knowledge. You know what you're going to do? That's why he said, "Faman 'alima ma yuridu fi'luhu faqad nawa." If you know what you want to do, that's the intention Allah wants from you. You know, I come to the masjid to pray. I know that, yes, I'm here to pray Dhuhr. Finish. That's the intention. When the imam says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, I raise up my hand with the intention of, this is the beginning of my prayer. What else I want? Get it? Very easy religion. Very simple concept. You know, he says, فَمَنْ عَلِمَ مَا يُلِجِ فِعْلَهُ فَقَدْ نَوَاهُ. He says, إِذْ لَا يُمْكِنُ فِعْلٌ بِدُونُ نِيَّةٍ. Because it is not possible for you to do something without having intention. That's why he said in some statement, لَوْ كَلَّفَنَ اللَّهُ عَمَلًا بِغَيْرِ نِيَّةٍ لَكَانَ تَكْلِيفًا بِمَا لَا يُطَاقُ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you have to do something without having intention, that will be asking you to do something which is beyond your ability. Ramadan, please take your Samsung. No, don't intend to take it. Take it without intention. I mean, he listened to my word and understand, right? And then he take it after my, what is that? Intention. So it is impossible for you to have an act without intention. Get the idea. That's why Imam Nawawi says in some of his statements, to say the intention by word is even innovation. Even if you don't say it's innovation, but it is not part of what Rasulullah used to do. Ibn Rajab mentioned that it is a consensus of all the scholars that if you have intention in the heart, but you don't say it with the tongue, your action is okay, 100%. And if you say it with the tongue, but you forgot to do it with the heart, 100% your action is batil. You get it? You say with the tongue, but the heart doesn't know what you're doing. If that is possible, your action is batil. Yeah. Allah grant us good. Yes. Finish? You said three questions.
One more left. It's more than
what is that? I don't want to carry any loan.
Okay, sir. Last question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can a woman observe i'tikaf in a masjid where Friday prayers aren't held?
Yeah, no problem. As long as the place is conducive, she's just like the brothers. She can do i'tikaf in the way the brothers do. But just make sure that there is a place for them. Because it's appropriate to go and sleep in an open space. You know. But if they have their own session, you know, which is covered from the eyes of the brothers, she can sleep freely in that place. The brothers are not coming. She wants to go for it. Come, that's okay. Whether there is Juma, there is no Juma, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.